Well, tonight we're back in Proverbs, and it's challenging, again, to cover all the geographic territory that Proverbs does in some of these topics. But as we come together, I'd like to reflect with you about one of the challenges of learning a wisdom-based approach of life, and particularly teaching it to our children, and it's the challenge of pragmatism. Pragmatism is the philosophy that says, if it works, it's good. And if it works really well, then it's really good. And there are many people who have kind of a pragmatic approach to life. Whatever works must be good. Now, the problem there is that wisdom is interested in what works best, but pragmatism is not biblical wisdom. Pragmatism is what Solomon reflected in Ecclesiastes, where he said, I tried this, and I tried this, and I tried this. And if you read it carefully, you suddenly realize that everything he tried worked. When he tried mirth, for example, he said, I was happy and I enjoyed life and everything, but it was empty. And I tried building great projects and doing great things and amassing wealth, and I succeeded, but it was empty. You see, everything that he did in his wisdom worked, but it was not what God wanted. And biblical wisdom has a higher view than just what works, particularly on the temporal plane. What happens, what works this week or next week, or brings me more money, or brings me, you know, success or respect in people's eyes. Biblical wisdom is concerned with what God thinks, even if in the short term I seem to prosper. I've shared with you before one of the kind of witty things that somebody's written, I think is very true, where they took the story of David and Saul, and they kind of adapted it. You remember it said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. One person has said, adversity has slain its thousands, but prosperity has slain its tens of thousands. Many times, the very thing that we pursued and we thought would be the best outcome of our actions and our decisions has actually been a snare to us to draw our hearts away from God and to pierce us through with many pains. I haven't listened to Brian's message yet, but that should have been a part of what he had in the course of Proverbs, where it said, listen, I don't want all this big stuff, I want what I need today, because this could turn my heart away from you. And so when you think about this issue, remember that wisdom is not just a matter of doing what works. Wisdom is doing what is right. Consider Proverbs 14:12. You know it, don't you? There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It feels right, it seems right, it works, but it's killing you. And quite honestly, parents and grandparents, it's killing your children, it's killing your grandchildren. You know, I don't know what your prayers are, but I want faithful children. And if God ever gives grandchildren, I want faithful grandchildren. I've told you before about both my grandmothers praying that God would lead, you know, one of their children into the ministry. And it didn't happen. My dad's family was three boys. My one uncle went to Moody for a year, but he never went in ministry, ended up working at Ford. My mother's family, there were 11 children born over 30-some years. You'd think, you know, it happened. No. But they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and prayed all of their lives. Now the next generation comes along. My two brothers and I, all in full-time Christian service. I have cousins in Kentucky, my mother's side of the family, that are in pastors and speaking for different Christian groups and those kinds of things. I want to ask you something. What do you want for your kids? See, what my dad really wanted in, you know, a real desire of his heart was for one of his boys to take over the business, but that didn't happen. But did his life work? See, a lot of times I think that we're shooting too low. Now, why does the wrong way that leads to death seem right? I think the primary reason is because it works in the short term. Remember Abraham with Sarah? You know, they're down in Egypt. All the guys are looking at Sarah. And Abraham said, oh man, they're going to kill me to get you. Tell them you're my sister, so they don't hurt me. Now what happens to you is a whole other ballgame. You remember Sarah's taken into Pharaoh's household and so forth, but God protects Sarah and causes Abraham to get rebuked, and they get out of there, and they actually end up farther ahead than they were before they did that. And so a little later, they're in another situation with the same kind of things happening. What does Abraham say to Sarah? Tell him you're my sister. Same thing. God protects Sarah, rebukes Abraham, but they come out ahead. And the most telling thing to me is that later Isaac and Rebekah are in a similar situation, and Isaac says to Rebekah, tell him you're my sister. I can hear him now. It always worked for Dad. Hey, Dads, your kids are learning how you handle problems, how you handle threats, and how you handle difficulties. Are they learning to honor God, or are they just learning what seems to work in the short term? Even though God may have to rebuke you later on. Well, Proverbs does tell us about things that work, but way beyond our limited horizon of vision of the next week or year or even this lifetime. And so it talks about this issue of wisdom and its focus on doing what is right. And I want to look with you first at four motivations for wisdom to do what is right. What should motivate us? Number one is wisdom does right because that is its goal. The goal of wisdom is to do right, not just to have things work. The wisest believer is the one who pleases God even if it costs them their life. The wisest believer is the one who does what is honoring to God even if it costs them everything that they have. How do I know that? Well, as we go through Matthew, you know what the king's going to say. Love your life, lose it. Lose it for my sake, find it. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul? You've never left anything for my sake that will not be paid back 100-fold in the life to come. You see, wisdom has as its goal to do what is right, not just what works and profits in the short term. Proverbs chapter 2, I'm going to give you most of the scripture up here. A couple of times I'll have you turn to it, so have your Bibles handy. But Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10 says this, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. Now you have to jump down to get the point that I want to make. I want you to understand that wisdom is the issue here. But in verse 20 it says of Proverbs 2, so that you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. God says to Israel, listen, it's not just enough to figure out how to keep hold of the land. You stay in it if you honor me. If you don't, you're out. You see, a lot of Israel's failures as a nation came from trying to work things out their own way. One of my favorites is the Babylonian ambassadors come, and the king of Israel is trying to impress them, so he comes in and he shows them all the gold of the temple and all the gold of the palaces. All this is really cool. The next thing you know, you get a letter from the king of Babylon that says, send me the gold. Okay? Asa, a king before that time. Asa was a young man. He came to the throne very young. He's encountering a million-man army out there. He calls out, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. You've got to deliver us or we're toast. And God delivered him. Later on, when he was older and wiser, he's faced with a much smaller threat from the northern kingdom of Israel. And what does he do? He doesn't cry out to God. He strips a whole bunch of gold out of the treasury. He goes up and bribes the king of Damascus to attack Israel from the north and draw them off. And it worked. Until God sent his prophet and said, Asa, 2 Chronicles 16:9, don't you know that the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself powerful on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him? You've done wickedly. It worked. But for the rest of your reign, you will have wars. And at the very end of the story of Asa's life, he gets diseased in the feet. We don't know what it is, but generally foot disease is not terminal. But it was for Asa, and he died, and it says explicitly in the text, because he sought the physicians and did not seek the Lord. It worked, but he's a fool. See, without doing right, no one is wise in God's sight. Proverbs 2, verses 6 to 9, a little earlier in that same chapter. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Wisdom enables you to understand these things. How many times do you sit there saying, I just don't know what's the right thing to do? You need biblical wisdom. That's what it's all about. To understand these things, you got to pursue it, because the outcome of life follows the motivation that is employed. Proverbs 10:16, the labor of the righteous leads to life; the wages of the wicked to sin. It's going to go one way or the other. The person who is committed to righteousness is a person committed to wisdom. The person who is committed to wickedness is a person committed to folly. When you make a decision based on wisdom or folly, the decision itself may or may not be sin or righteousness, but it will lead you in a certain direction. And when you're praying and asking God for wisdom, you're trying to sort things out, the number one thing you got to remember is the wisdom that God gives is so you'll do what is right. To do what is right. That's the first test right there. That'll be motivational. It's the whole point, to do what's right. Secondly, wisdom does right because of self-preservation. This is one of my favorites in Proverbs. Over and over again, it says, listen, this is going to determine what happens in your life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and read with me verses 14 to 19. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 19. Follow along as I read. Proverbs 4, 14. Proverbs 4:14 says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Can God say any more ways that this ought to be something that you flee from? Okay? For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. There are people who are trying to destroy you. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. You know, so many Christians lose track of the fact that God gives joy independent of any external factors. God works in the heart. God works in the heart to give joy in spite of, almost in the face of, circumstances. And yet so often we chase the circumstance. If I just had more money, if I just had a better job, if I just had a bigger house, if I just had a nicer car, if I just had, and you go on and everything. And he says, listen, no. The life that honors me is the life that's a walk in the park in the sun. And when you turn away from me, no matter what it gains you, it's darkness, and you'll never figure out why you keep falling, why you keep stumbling. And it's because of the darkness. You kind of relate that, I think, to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, if your eye is dark, how great is the darkness in the heart? Chapter 10, verse 24 says this, the fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. See, they both go through the whirlwind, don't they? Again, the Sermon on the Mount. He who hears these words of mine and does them is like a man who built his house on a rock. And you remember, the winds beat, and the rains come, and the waves, you know, do their thing, and his house is firm. The whirlwind comes. The one who hears these words and doesn't do them is like a man who builds a house on the sand. Same experiences, wind, waves, rain, but the house collapses. It's not the circumstances of life. It is the fear of the Lord and the honoring of the Lord and the righteousness of the life that gives you the security in the course of life. Proverbs 11, would you turn there, please, and look at verse 3 with me. Proverbs 11:3 says this: the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. See, here's the thing. What is the habitual choice and direction of your life? If it is to do what is right, and that is what you pursue, you will find many times that that protects you when everybody else falls apart. I think that's particularly true, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of get-rich-quick schemes. Do you know who some of the most gullible people are in those schemes? Christians. I've read that in secular press, that Christians get taken more often in these things than any other group of people in the United States. Because why? Well, I was a nice person. They came to me and they were so nice. They were so pleasant. And they're Christians. Hey, listen, if the whole motivation is money, you're missing it. Because, you know, Satan can appear as an angel of light. You're just trying to make more money, get more money, and get more and more and more and more and more. Let me tell you something. We'll come back to that at the end, but that isn't it. Here's the thing. What's right? What's right? I talked to a fellow one time who was a part of a church where someone had come in and presented this great opportunity to make money. And all these people signed on board, and then they lost everything. And then, of course, he split and went to another church. Okay, and I was talking to my friend, and I said, did you lose anything in that? And he just kind of smiled. He said, no. And I said, why? He says, because he's telling people how to be millionaires. I never wanted to be a millionaire. That's not my goal. I said, that wasn't my goal. I didn't join in the path of those whose goal it was, and so I didn't lose anything. And he said, in the end, I ended up better off than everybody who's going to make their $1 million. Hey, listen, the integrity of the upright guides. The perversity of the unfaithful destroys. Who are you going to be? This is just self-preservation, folks. I want to do what's right. Proverbs 12:3, a man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. What's your financial security? You know what the Bible says it is? Contentment. Hard work, savings, and self-control. You know what the world says? Money, more money, lots of money, and get some more money while you're at it. That is not security. That is loss. It is not by wickedness that you'll ever be established. And so when you have to cut corners to get things, and when you have to handle things in an ungodly manner in order to function in your job and in your workplace, in your community or your home, it will not work in the end. It'll destroy you, not make you. It's silly. You know, bottom line is wisdom does right because it's self-preservation. There's a whole bunch of other verses you could look at to deal with this as well. Fools are destroying themselves. Third motivation, wisdom does right because of relationships. Relationships, because of relationships with people. For example, people respect genuine righteousness, don't they? I mean, think about it. How many people have you known that are genuinely godly people? Not just talk about it, not overbearing about how righteous they are and how stupid you are or whatever. I mean, just people who walk the walk. People generally respect that. You know, there was a movie this year that's kind of blown Hollywood away called Blindside. In fact, I just saw it referenced in an ad for another movie. No one in Hollywood thought this movie would go anywhere. It has been a gangbuster success. Sandra Bullock is the star of it. And it's a story of a family, a white family that takes a black fellow in off the street and their whole education from that. And then he becomes a top flight football player. He's in the NFL now. It's a true story. But I thought the interview I read with Sandra Bullock was very telling. She said, I have run into evangelical Christians all my life, and I have not had very good experiences with them. But getting ready for this movie, I went and sat down with this family that did this, and she said, they're the real deal. They walk the talk. I've never met anybody like that in my entire life. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Listen, people respect that. Proverbs 10:6-7, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. It's a good passage for a funeral sometime, right? Think about the people whose memories you revere, and think about the people that you just as soon forget. Relationships say, go for the righteousness. Secondly, righteousness brings blessings to those around you in terms of relationships. Proverbs 10:20-21, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. You know, it's kind of funny the way people have mindset. I was talking with a lady who was a Christian, and she's asking me about the family business, and then her husband was in ministry, and they never had a whole lot. And she said, well, how did the business go? I said, well, it went pretty well. I said, in my book, we were rich. Oh, you were rich. And all of a sudden, you could just see almost the dollar signs going through her brain. And a little later, I was talking with her husband, and I said, yeah, my parents sent me a check. It's kind of nice to have a little windfall. And she called me up and said, why don't you take some of your windfall and do this? And I said, I could take all of my windfall and not be able to afford to do that. My windfall was $40. But I was very thankful for it because it's $40 I hadn't anticipated. To me, that was a windfall. To her, that was nothing because everything was about the big dollars. But you know what? I have never told you, I don't think, in any of my illustrations for my father, how much money he gave me. I've told you about the wisdom that he shared. And the example that he set, that's what matters, ladies and gentlemen, is that righteousness in those things. It's a blessing. Proverbs 11:30-31, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? You know, sometimes we look at that and say, oh, soul winning. No. Understand what this verse is talking about. It's talking about the fact that when you live your life in a way that pleases God, you win people over. You win people. It's not talking about walking up somebody on the street and hitting them with a 4-minute presentation of the gospel, and now you are a wise person because you win souls. It's talking about a person whose life is a tree of life. And as people come near you, the life that God has put in your heart and your life just flows out to them. And you don't just win them for eternity, you win them to God and to you. Because of the reality of your life. And he goes on to say then, and you know, even if you go through difficulty in this life, how much more is what the wicked person to expect? Just do what's right, and God will win souls through you, win people not only to himself, but to you as well, and shed life through you. A parallel of that is Matthew chapter 18, where it talks about church discipline. If your brother is overtaken in some sin against you, you go to him, tell him the sin in private, and if he listens to you, you have what? You have won your brother. You have won your brother. By the way, in the Old Testament, most of the time, soul is not talking about the immaterial part of man. It's talking about the whole person. The whole person. Righteousness brings blessings to people around you, and you win them to you and to God. Third, righteousness protects people around you, protects other people. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. There are all kinds of people trying to be a bad influence in someone's life. What kind of influence are you? You stand before God, and God says, how did you impact this person's life? What would you say? What would they say? You know, I love it when I have occasion, and I do every once in a while, someone will call me up and say, Pastor, I need to talk to you about this. I need to get your take on this. I said, well, I don't have anything to offer you with Scripture. That's okay. I know you won't tell me what I want to hear. You'll tell me what I need to hear. Yeah, I'll tell you what, my friend, if that is not the testimony of your life, you really don't understand wisdom. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sometimes people quote that. Let me ask you something. Is this about a nation that has righteous laws or about righteous people? See, folks, people look at the United States today and say, oh, we're turning away from God. We turned away from God a long time ago. And it isn't just the culture. It's the churches. Prayer is lost, a dependence on God is rare to be found. And you know what? We can do a constitutional amendment about abortion or about gay marriage or about anything that you want to name. But until God's people get their lives straight, this nation will not be blessed by God. No matter what the law says, no matter what the Constitution says. Righteousness is not a matter of the Constitution. Righteousness is a matter of the heart and life of God's people. Wisdom does right because of relationships. You are making an impact on people around you. Pay attention to it. And fourth, wisdom does what is right because God is pleased. That's the end. That's what really works is we know that God says, that's good. That's why in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, when he talks about he came around, this was empty and meaningless. He says, here's what makes sense. God. If you can enjoy your meals and the things you got, that's from God. Here's what makes sense. Go back to God. That's the only thing that makes sense. God is the one that makes wisdom worth it. When you use wisdom, God respects your worship. Isn't that interesting? You know, in Ecclesiastes, let me just quote it real quickly. I don't have it on the screen, but it says, when you come to the house of God, watch your mouth. God doesn't have any delight in fools. He says, keep your vows. The things that you've promised in the past, make sure you've been doing them all week long. When you come, because God is not pleased when you stand there and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other thing, and then you never do it. But Proverbs 15, verses 8 and 9 says this, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Wait a minute, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice, and God called for sacrifices. God said to make sacrifices. No. The wicked person just does their own thing and then tries to make up for it on Sunday. That's an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. When your wisdom leads to right living, then God says, hey, I really respect your worship. Proverbs 21:3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. You know what's more important than the songs you sing on Sunday morning? What's more important than the testimonies you may give or teaching the Sunday school class is what you did at work this week that reflected the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ. That was your first act of worship, the door opener. God respects worship when we exercise wisdom to righteousness. Secondly, God sustains life. When we do that, Proverbs 24:15 to 16, do not lie in wait a wicked man against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. For a righteous man may fall seven times and will rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. What sustains you, God? Well, the wicked do get to you every once in a while. Every once in a while, things do get pulled away. And God says, it's okay. You'll stand again. I love these kind of passages. I told you before, I think, about my father, but it really hit me. In the 60s, when my father's business burned down, and watching him go through that, the meetings in our breakfast room that I didn't understand all the discussion and decisions he had to make, and the way he kept telling us how God would provide and that he just trusted God, and amazing things happened during that time. But, my dad had six children, and I read at the same time of another man who'd been in the news, I'm not going to give the name or whatever, but he'd been in the news because he had sextuplets. And years before, and I read in the news, a year after my dad's business burned down and things had settled out and we'd gotten going again, that this man had committed suicide. He'd lost his business. Two men, own business, six children. One with no hope, the other one testifying to his kids about the goodness of God. One had hope, one did not. Hey, you know what, folks? God is the one who sustains us, not our IRAs, 401ks, 403bs. God sustains. And if he doesn't, those things will not get you very far. Proverbs 29:16, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Hang in there. Hang in there. Every once in a while, you just have to say to yourself, okay, the bill hasn't come due yet. Someone says, what do you think when you see this? I think that God is still on his throne. And this person has got their moment now, but I know what is coming. And I will still be here when they have fallen. God sustains the life of the one who pursues righteousness through the wisdom. So why do what is right? Let me summarize it. That's the goal. Self-preservation. Relationships are better. And God approves of it. So what do we do tonight? Real quickly before we go home. What you do? Number one, beware of your motivation. Check your motivation. You know, there is no such thing as wisdom that has the wrong motivations. Proverbs 12:5-7, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are, lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. Check what you're thinking, the way you're thinking. The wicked are manipulative and they sneak up on people. Righteous people are up front. Righteous people are up front. I've seen so many. I've been in meetings where people have talked about evangelistic things. We get all these people together and stuff, and then we'll hit them with the gospel. And a lot of times it was try to set this thing up so we give people what they want, and then we'll give them what they don't want. Instead of being straightforward about it. I don't think God would ever honor anything that is done that way. And I never saw him honor it. Proverbs 12, verses 12 to 13. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. Motivation, what do you want? Do you want the same thing that scumbag on television, who's famous and has all these women chasing him, has and has all this money and all this success? Is that what you want? Be careful. You want the wrong thing. And you got to check that motivation, because you cannot achieve or reach out to righteousness when your motivation is for the wages of wickedness. Watch out. Number two, beware of ungodly practices. Beware of ungodly practices. This is a real challenge. I talk very bluntly with people from time to time. Sometimes people are in professions that are known for ungodly practices. And I have to talk to them and say, you know, you've got a real challenge before you. Everybody in your profession that I've ever known of cuts corners and does things in an ungodly manner. Are you going to set a new path here? And they usually look at me and they say, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And if they say, oh, no, it's not like that, then I know that they're cutting corners. Proverbs 13:5 says this, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Think about that. He hates lying. He hates lying. If the choice came between feeding your family and lying, which one would you choose? Which one would your wife choose? Which one would your kids choose? Hey, folks, we got to stop and think about it. Do I absolutely repudiate ungodly practices, even if it costs me everything? It's a challenge. You guys are working in the mill. God says, do a good job, work hard. What does your union buddy say? Hey, you got to. It's a challenge here. Repudiate ungodly practices. Third thing that we should do is guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. If your mouth is running, you're heading in the wrong direction. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Make sure you get the heart right first, then talk. Then talk. Think it through. I hate how many times that I've failed in this area, and James 3 tells us that we all do. But I had this one time that I preached, and I'd said something off the cuff. It wasn't in my notes. It just kind of came to me. I said it, and I got an email a couple weeks later from a very gracious, godly Christian who said, this person was with me on Sunday. They heard you say this, and it slammed the door. Now, what I said was not untrue, but it was ungracious. And it just was worthless. And it certainly wasn't worth turning somebody away from the truth for. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have wisdom, you have to learn to shut up. Forgive me for putting it so bluntly. There's a time to just stop. Stop your mouth. Think through what you're going to say. Or you will continue down a foolish path into wickedness. Number four, check your conscience. I like this one. This is one of my favorite verses in Proverbs, okay? Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you look in the rearview mirror, and there's a police car. What happens in your heart? If that's true, here's why. Because you aren't paying attention to your driving, and you usually speed. That's why. Okay? And the cop is not there very often. Most of the time, he's not there because of you. Now, every once in a while, he is, because that's how you can tell when the lights are on. That's when he's there, because of you. But most of the time, he's just there. Why does your heart sink? Why do you have this sudden surge of adrenaline? And why are you checking everything and remembering where your insurance card is? Because the wicked flee when no one's pursuing. Listen, if you check yourself, what's your conscience telling you? Oh no, I hope nobody finds out. Fill in the blank. I hope no one ever sees my tax return. Well, you probably cut corners on your tax return. I hope nobody ever audits my books. Can I let you in on a secret? God's going to audit your books one of these days. Did you know that? God hates unjust business practices. Hey, listen. Check your conscience. Check your conscience. You're not being very wise if you're not living with a clear conscience. Open book. Number five, give. Give? Yeah, give. Proverbs 29:7, the righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. What? Righteous person is concerned with being a blessing, just for blessing's sake, because God honors it. But the wicked doesn't get that. The wicked's trying to hang on to themselves. The wicked is looking at somebody else and running them down, everything. Hey, become a giver. You know, Pastor Ryan was telling me this last week about a time that someone came in here and he said, I got took. So did Mrs. D. That's okay. That's okay. If you can afford to get took, it's okay to get took. I'd rather get took than never give, never try, never trust. Now, granted, I'm a pain in the butt around here. Forgive me for putting it that way. People come in, I give them a really hard time, because most of the time people come in here because they tried everybody else. And they all said no to them because they could see through. But at the same time, my friend, if you've got people in your neighborhood and around you at work and stuff like that, have people who have needs, as a righteous person, you understand the value of investing in people, because God rewards it. He that lends to the poor lends to the Lord. That's what it also says in Proverbs. The wicked don't get that. Become a giver. Become a giver. Six, last one, stand up for the helpless. Proverbs 31:8-9, open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. When I was a young teen, the issue of the day in the United States, there were two of them, to be fair, the Vietnam War, debatable, civil rights, not debatable. Judging a person by the color of their skin is sin, period, end of discussion, always has been, always will be, but the fundamental church was silent. The people who claimed to know God and know Jesus Christ and know His Word were silent, or they were on the wrong side. That's not wisdom, and it didn't lead to righteousness. It did not advance the cause of Christ. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, how do you know that you're applying wisdom for righteousness? You stand up for it when somebody's being mistreated. You stand up for it when somebody's being mistreated. Now, everybody doesn't stop and applaud when you do this, except God does. And He says, well done. Well done. Let's pray together. Father, I pray tonight that we would be committed to what is right. There might be a flood out into this community from this church tonight of people who simply says, I know what the basic issue and drive and motivation and goal of wisdom is to do what is right. Lord, I want to do what is right. I want to do what is right with my spouse. I want to do what is right with my kids, with my parents. I want to do what is right at school. I want to do what is right at work. I want to do what is right in every relationship. I want to do what is pleasing to you, Father, that I'd simply do right. And through that, then, you would get the glory. Through that, I would win souls, not only to you, but to me, in a one body in Jesus Christ. Through that, I would protect the lives of others. Through that, I would be a blessing. Through that, I would know your pleasure and worship. Through that, Father, I might truly be wise for your glory. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.